If you have your Bibles, make your way to Genesis chapter 40. I do also want to say happy Father's Day. Men, dads here this morning, thank you for choosing to be here, to taking the opportunity to do this. Guys, we dads, we need more godly fathers, examples. And I'm so thankful for many of them that are in this room that teach me and show me what it means to be a godly dad. My dear Quinlan, other than being a husband, why did I do that? She made me a dad first. Brinkley, you almost made me only want two kids. Eden, you made it so easy, we just kept going. You play, you pay. Boaz, you were my first son. And Moses backed you up. And then Lainey. Cal, what would we be without Lainey? All right, that's it. Genesis 40. How do you handle disappointments in life? Things don't go your way. I have stories in my life. Lost promotions. Thinking I deserved something, didn't get it. Lost my job while I was going to seminary. At that time, I had four kids wondering, what the heck am I going to do? Are you a pouter when disappointments come? Do you lash out in anger? Maybe you blame somebody. Disappointments in a sin-cursed world, they are going to happen. When they happen, they will expose our hearts. They will expose exactly where the hope we truly have lies. Last week, we were left with Joseph, falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned for rape. To say that life had its disappointments in Joseph's life would be an understatement. The thing that Joseph can't see was the wheels of providence are moving. Yes, in his eyes, way too slowly. But God is lining up everything in Joseph's life just the way it needs to be. Soon, the plans and the purposes of God will become crystal clear to Joseph. That's true in our disappointments as well. God is working. So let's join Joseph in prison today. His experiences with disappointment have some much needed lessons for us as followers of Jesus Christ. The first thing I would like us to consider from this chapter with Joseph is, in our disappointments of life, the first point is this. We're going to jump right into it. Be servant-minded, not self-pitying. Let's jump into chapter 40, starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, that is, that when Joseph was sent to prison, accused of rape of Potiphar's wife, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. In the prison where Joseph was confined, the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended to them. They continued for some time in custody, and one night they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each had his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces so downcast today?" They said to him, "We had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please, tell them to me." I want you to notice in those highlighted verses of verses 4, 6, 7, and 8, instead of complaining and being a bad testimony, Joseph serves. He serves in prison. What? He encourages the cupbearer. He encourages the baker. He cares about people even when he is in his disappointment. He doesn't complain to them. Don't we just love to complain? Don't we love to stir up people when we're angry? Things don't go our way. Maybe it's the result of our own sin, but maybe, like Joseph, it's the result of someone else's. I mean, don't we have the right to complain? No amens there? The answer's no. Paul would write in jail in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or complaining or disputing." Paul, another guy in prison. What's your prison? You feel like you can complain? Well, stop it. How's that for a point? The old Bob Newhart point. Stop it. Any complainers like me this morning? How do we stop complaining? Did you know God hates complaining? In Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, "And the people complained," you know, the people that he rescued out of Egypt, "and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp." Us parents, don't you love it when your children complain when they're asked to do something? You know, it's funny as I don't want to use my kids as an example, I won't. But I can tell you, when my dad asked me to do yard work, boy, did I huff and puff. But I did it with such a glad heart. And I asked for more work and more work. No, that's not. Parents, we know what it's like. Joseph teaches us in our disappointments, be servant-minded, not self-pitying. You want to stop complaining? Get your mind off yourself and start thinking about others. What a testimony that Joseph has. Wherever God has you in your life, be faithful. Joseph learned to be faithful in the little things. I mean, he was in prison. And he's witnessing to these two guys. He serves them. He asks them how they're doing. Why are you so sad? Well, I got something to be sad about. No, that's not what he does. We continue in Genesis chapter 40, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up, your head, and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in the hand as formerly when you were with the cup, were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me this kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that should be put me into this pit." Now, by the way, I'll get to that, but that's not complaining. He's just addressing his situation. "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket of my head.' And Joseph answered and said to him, 'This is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you.'" So Joseph tells the cupbearer that in 3 days he'd be released from prison and restored to Pharaoh. He then asks the cupbearer to remember him. And by the way, again, this just shows us that the prison that he's in isn't a country club. It's not easy. He didn't want to be there. He's not complaining. He's just telling the truth. There is a difference. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Solomon writes, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." The point of that is that wherever God has you, be committed to what God has for you. And he'll establish the plans of your life. This was great wisdom out of Solomon. So Joseph is committed to the Lord, but he didn't want to be in prison. That's okay. It didn't affect his service to people. You see the difference? When you don't like your situation, maybe your job or whatever, keep serving and stop complaining. Be a good testimony. Maybe find another job, but continue in your service unto the Lord. When disappointments come, and they will come, be servant-minded, not self-pitying. The second thing that I see from this passage, in our disappointments of life, not only be a servant, but number two, when you are forgotten, know that you're not forsaken. Look at Genesis chapter 40. "And on the third day," again, as Joseph interpreted these dreams, "on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker." and Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the cupbearer was released, as was the baker. The cupbearer was released from prison to serve Pharaoh again, and yet he forgot Joseph. And by the way, it tells us that he did not make mention of Joseph's name to Pharaoh for another 2 whole years. The next chapter, 41, verse 1, says that. 2 years later. Can you imagine? Joseph thinking, you know, I shared with the cupbearer, you know, that I'm wrongfully in here. If he just make mention to Pharaoh that, you know. I got to imagine when he heard that the cupbearer was restored and serving and exactly like he had said that God had told him. Then I got to imagine that he was sitting there, you know, packing up his stuff, thinking, yeah, today's the day. I'm going to be out of here. And another day passes. And another day passes. Week goes on. Month goes on. Month goes on. Year goes on. Another year. Can you imagine? All the while, Joseph is in prison, disappointed, I'm sure, but waiting for God to move. Were those years wasted? Were those 2 years of waiting wasted by Joseph? It might feel like that, but again, I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you wouldn't believe it if I told you. You may be forgotten, but you are not forsaken from the Lord. Though people may forget, God is working. God uses these times of delay. We consider delay. We consider waiting for God to answer our prayers. We're so disappointed. Why doesn't God hurry up? These times of delay, they teach us to trust Him. Joseph needed to trust his Lord. Again, we see the providence of God. Just think, because we have hindsight, right? Just think if Joseph had been released from prison right away. The cupbearer would have fulfilled what he said he was going to do. Then Joseph would have probably been out of the country and would not have heard Pharaoh's dream, which we will learn about in the next chapter. God's plan, listen to me, God's plan and His timing is always perfect. Always on schedule. I think of my own life. If I would have gotten that promotion, you know, I look back and I think, you want to hear why I didn't get the promotion? Let me tell you. Still a little bitter here. So it was between me and this other person to get this awesome relationship manager job at this company. I won't name them because they screwed up. And it was between me and this young lady, and we got to talking. You know, she was a friend, and I knew she was going for the job, and she knew I was going for the job. And I was making a joke, and, you know, I don't know if you know me, but I'm a joker. And we got to talking, because part of the job was is that you would take people out for dinner. You'd take them golfing. I mean, it was just a awesome job. But basically, you take higher-ups in the company, you take them out for dinners and things like that to kind of butter them up so that you can keep their business. I wanted that job so bad. Well, so did she. And I got to joking around, and I'm like, you know, I can't wait to take people out for dinner, and we're going to get whore's divorce. Now, if you don't know French, I was joking. I know it's hors d'oeuvre, but it's spelled whore's divorce, right? Anybody? So I was just kidding. She went and told my manager, you can't hire this guy. He doesn't even know it's called hors d'oeuvres. He'll be an embarrassment to our company. They agreed. I was so ticked, remember? I wasn't a Christian either. We've had disappointments. There are times when you feel like you've been in prison, that maybe you've been forgotten. But Joseph reminds us he was never forsaken. God had a plan for Joseph. And the wheels were starting to turn. He just had to be patient and trust the Lord. Are you still waiting? Praying for that circumstance, praying for that thing that you're so disappointed about. Keep trusting. Maybe, just maybe, God is protecting you from something. Maybe Joseph's life will teach us you can wait. God has not forsaken you. I look back in my life, and if I would have got that promotion, maybe I wouldn't be here. When the time came, Joseph was released, but not a minute before. We need to learn that truth. Our God is never late. He always moves at the right time. As you read Scripture, think about it. When did he rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Before the furnace? No, during. Not when we would have liked, but right on time. When did he help Daniel? Not when Daniel would have preferred, but right on time. When did Jesus come to the disciples on the stormy sea? Not when they thought they needed, but right on time. Jesus waited 3 days to visit Lazarus. Jesus waited 3 days in the tomb. I love what Isaiah chapter 41 says. He says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Isaiah 40, 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be forgotten, but you will never be forsaken by your Lord. You continue to wait, for God's perfect timing will be revealed. The Lord will not move when we think, he ought to. We may get discouraged and disappointed, but we will never be forsaken by our God. When those times of disappointment come, we can either be discouraged, we can look for a place to quit, or we can do what Joseph did. We need to remember that even though we may feel forgotten, we will never be forsaken in His time. So one last thing I want us to consider. And really, this is the big picture. How does Joseph point us to Jesus? Right? So we have these disappointments. And we see from Joseph, be servant-minded, not self-pitying. When forgotten, know that you're not forsaken. So how does Joseph point us to Jesus, though? Because He's the big picture. Well, here's how. We look to Jesus because He truly is the suffering servant. Jesus is the greater Joseph. Did you know that Joseph, like Joseph, there were two with Jesus on the cross? One would be saved, like the cupbearer, but one would not, like the baker. Even on the cross, He was willing to serve. Jesus is the greater Joseph. We look to Jesus to stop complaining. We look to Jesus to wait and trust. Jesus was always serving, even to the last moments of His life. Listen to how the gospel says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus gave us the example hours before He'd go to the cross, when He washed His disciples' feet, even Judas, who would betray Him. John 13, verse 15, He said this, "For I have given you as an example the washing of the feet, that you also should do just as I have done for you." When the disappointments come in your life, how are we going to stop complaining? How are we going to stop being a bad testimony? Look to your Savior. Joseph points us to Jesus. Jesus aims to lead us in our disappointments, which can cause us to lose our testimony. And when that takes place, repent. Will you be a witness in your disappointments, in your suffering? Joseph trusted God's plan. Jesus fulfilled God's plan. So how does Joseph point us to Jesus? Well, Jesus is that suffering servant. And secondly, Jesus will never leave us. I don't know what you're going through. I've had some times in my life, as I've mentioned, where I felt very alone. Some as a result of my own sin. Some as a result of others, people's sin against me. Joseph was never alone, and neither are we that are in Christ. We're never alone. We may be forgotten, we may feel alone, but we are never alone if we are in Christ. Jesus said to in Matthew 28, he said this. He said to his disciples, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, it says this, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So listen, whatever disappointment we have to walk through, we will walk through it with Jesus. Some of you here are facing your disappointments alone. Not because Jesus doesn't want to help you, but you've never invited him into your life. You've never acknowledged that your sin has separated you from a holy God. You're still relying on your good deeds and your good works, and somehow there's a balance in the sky, and somehow you're better than somebody else. And I'm here to plead with you. Life is going to be filled with disappointments. Some as a result of your own sin, some as a result of sin against you. But all of it is to point to you, your need for a Savior. Sin is the enemy. And until you ask Jesus to personally forgive you of your sin and acknowledge that Jesus died for you, you are doing it alone. The Bible says that he is an enemy. Not because he wants to be, but because you want him to be. Today, call on his name. Receive him and be born again. Follower of Jesus Christ, if we want victory in regards to our disappointments, we have to realize that we do not do this alone. That Jesus aims to use our testimony, to use the disappointments in our life, to point many people to him. Will you be a part of that mission? Or will you complain? Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the reminder that Joseph's life points me to you, Jesus. That Jesus, you are that suffering servant, come to die for the sins of the world. Jesus, you came because we have no other way to heaven but through you. And you desire never to leave us, never forsake us. And that is a truth that is found in a relationship with you. And God, help your church. Help your church to be an example in a world that's filled with disappointments. That we might be a testimony to a world that desperately needs you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.